All right, amen. This is Jesus. That's what we're here to talk about this morning. Y'all go ahead and open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 is where we're going to be this morning. My name is Evan McGinty. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, I'm glad to be able to be here, lead you through Bible study this morning. As has been already mentioned a couple of times, we are starting a new series this morning. We spent the past number of months going through the book of Romans. Really enjoyed that. Hope you guys enjoyed our time both in small groups and here on Sunday mornings going through the book of Romans. But we're entering into this time of Lent, where we really wanted to do something, do a series where we just really talk all about Jesus. This is Jesus. This is what we want to spend these next couple of months, just digging into who is Jesus. How can we tell stories about Jesus and talk all about him? And so as we approach this series and begin it, know that, yes, we want to be talking week in and week out about the stories of Jesus, but also we want to do this series because we want you to become very familiar with the stories of Jesus. We want us, as believers, to know these stories. These are going to be good stories for you to know and be able to tell others. These are stories to be told and retold. And so we want to just, these may be stories you're already familiar with. If you've been in church for a while, that's okay. We want to revisit these to really become so familiar with them that we can retell them to our friends, our neighbors, our families. But really, there's another reason I want us to do this series as a church, and it's because there's a problem that we all have, and it's that we are so quick to forget the beauty and the greatness of the incarnation. I think about just how glorious and how amazing it is that God became flesh and moved into the neighborhood with us, came to earth, and not just that, but he talked to ordinary people. He walked the streets, talked to ordinary people, and asked them questions. That's what we're going to see all throughout this series, is we're going to see God in flesh coming and speaking to ordinary people, asking them sometimes just very ordinary questions. And I don't want you to miss the point every week as we look at these questions of how, yes, simple, but amazing it is that God became flesh and came and talked to people like you and me, sinners like you and me, engaged in conversation with them, asked them questions, and began walking alongside them. And so this is a beautiful truth that I want us to see both this morning, but also just throughout this series. And the question we're going to be looking at this morning, the question that Jesus asked was, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? This is a question that Jesus asked, and it comes with a bit of a warning, let me say, up front. This question comes with a bit of a warning because it seems like it's a very open-ended question, and almost, if we're not careful, it can make Jesus out to be some sort of a genie or like a store clerk. This is the kind of question you get from anybody when you walk into a store of any sort, right? How can I help you? What can I do for you? What do you want me to do for you? This is a question we hear everywhere we go within our community. And if we're not careful, we can look at this and hear it from Jesus and hear, well, what Jesus is just saying, he's going to grant me anything I want. But what I want us to do is kind of live in this tension this morning between this fact that, yes, Jesus did ask this very question, what do you want me to do for you? But also just this Jesus is not a genie, but he's also not an unreachable deity. Right? This is what we're going to see. Jesus is very approachable. You could talk to him. He asked questions. But he also isn't there to just, you know, give you anything and everything you want to an extent. We'll get into that. So, big picture, let us not get distracted by the question as you see it just already. What do you want me to do for you? But let's really dig into the question asker. Let's really look at who is this man that asked this question. And let's marvel in the fact that God did indeed come in flesh, been 33 years here walking the earth, not as a political ruler and not as some military leader, but ultimately as a savior, a man who walked among ordinary people like you and me, interested in our lives and in our eternity. So let's just begin this morning by reading Mark chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. What we're going to do is we're going to read this story together. And we're going to just kind of talk about it and then look at the implications for our life. So I'm going to read Mark 10, 46. And then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him, "Be silent." But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped, and he said, "Call him." And they called him, called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And then throwing off his cloak, he sprang up, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, here's our question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. So this story comes at a time in the Gospels. This is actually, Jesus is with a crowd of people. He's heading to Jerusalem. This is actually the last healing that would take place in the Gospel of Mark before Jesus heads in to Jerusalem. And he's headed to Jerusalem to the cross. So he's on his way to the cross. And he's with this big crowd of people that are also heading there for this time of the Passover feast. And as this crowd of people with Jesus are heading to Jerusalem, they're passing what is very common, just a crowd of beggars. This was not necessarily anything unique. There are beggars all along the roads at different times asking for money or for provision. But this situation was a little bit different in what was said. You notice Bartimaeus, actually, and one thing that's unique that you may want to notice is in Mark's telling is a little different than Matthew and Luke. In Matthew and Luke, he actually says there's two blind beggars by the side of the road. Mark just points out Bartimaeus alone and reaching out to Jesus and calling him. And what's different about this is actually exactly what was said by Bartimaeus. Because you got this guy, Bartimaeus, who's sitting on the side of the road, and he's heard clearly that Jesus is passing through. He's heard of the fame of Jesus. He's heard of what Jesus, who he is and what he's done. And that's clear because he yells above the crowd of people that are passing through. And he yells and he says, "Jesus, Son of David, Son of David." See, there's a few things we need to know about Bartimaeus through this story. One is just by saying this, what he believed is that Jesus was the Messiah. This is a messianic title for Jesus. And Bartimaeus is here claiming, "Jesus, Son of David," yelling above the crowd. Yes, he may have known Jesus as a healer and as a man without sight. He may have wanted healers. He may have known Jesus as a friend of sinners, someone who would befriend and be compassionate to others. But what he knew and believed himself was clearly Jesus was the Messiah. He also obviously believed that Jesus not just was the Messiah, but he wasn't a distant Messiah. He wanted to help him. See, there were all kinds of crowds of people passing by Bartimaeus this whole time. And every day there were people passing by him. And every day there were people ignoring him. In fact, this very crowd, as Bartimaeus yelled out, what did they do? They tried to silence him. Just, shh, shh, be quiet, be quiet. The crowd saw Bartimaeus as a distraction. It's just a distraction to what they were trying to do and where they were trying to go. But you see, actually, the crowd turned a little bit. And they were at first saying, "You're a distraction, be silent," until Jesus speaks up and says, "Wait a second, call that man over here." And now all of a sudden the crowd just turned like, "Oh, wait, wait, hey," they encourage him, "Hey, get up, let's go, come over here." And they befriend him, "Come on," encourage him, "come over." And what it says that Bartimaeus did during this time is that he threw down his cloak, and he ran towards Jesus. Now, this cloak would have been the cloak he used, the garment he used to collect the money from people as that were passing by. Bartimaeus is so excited, he throws down his cloak on the ground, and he comes and he gets to Jesus. And that's where we get this obvious question that Jesus asks him. You can tell this is, if you're in the crowd, this is the answer to this question should be clearly obvious. A blind man standing for Jesus, a man who you've seen heal others. And he just says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" And what we see from Bartimaeus is he clearly believed Jesus could do anything for him. He believed he could do anything. Maybe, yes, he believed he could give him money. Maybe he even thought, you know, he could give me justice. Maybe he could reprimand those who think little of me because of my blindness. Maybe even he could give me a better place in society. But what do we see Bartimaeus ask for? He asks boldly for his sight. And it's interesting to note what Bartimaeus doesn't say and doesn't do. Namely, he doesn't go and engage Jesus in a conversation and say, okay, you know what, Jesus, I really need my sight, but let me tell you why I deserve it. All right, here's all the things I've done. Here's all the reasons why you need to give me my sight, because here's what I plan on doing it with it afterwards. He doesn't try to justify himself or say, you know what, I'm actually entitled to sight. You should give me sight because, you know, this is something I deserve. No, what we hear, actually, from Bartimaeus is a plea for mercy. When he says, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus is coming humbly before him in answer to this. It's interesting, this comes at a stark contrast to the story in the Gospel of Mark that just immediately precedes this. Jesus actually asked this question twice. He asked this question, what do you want me to do for you? Twice in a short span of time. If you go back a few paragraphs in the Gospel of Mark, you see Jesus traveling with his disciples along the road, and as they're traveling, Jesus tells, he foretells for the third time of his coming death and resurrection, and the disciples start talking amongst themselves, and they're like, hey, wait, I think I've got a request. And they come to Jesus, and they say, they do this thing that kids, your kids may do this to you at times, that's super annoying when they do, right? They say, Dad, I'm about to ask you a question, and you need to say yes to it, no matter what I say, you need to say yes to it. Your kids ever, I'm going to ask you something, just say yes, all right? It's basically what the disciples do. They come to Jesus, they say, look, we've got a request of you that we want you to grant of us, and we want you to just say yes to this. And here's their request. Once they say that, Jesus responds, like a patient father, he responds, what is it? What do you want me to do for you? And this is James and John at this time. And James and John, they look at Jesus, they said, you know that whole bit that you just explained to us about your suffering, your death, and then resurrection, and you're going to ascend? Well, when that happens, we want you to put us on your right and your left. We want to sit at these places of power. We want the position of authority. Would you grant this for us? This is what the disciples wanted, because, and this ends up turning into a story that Jesus tells about the disciples about greatness. What is greatness in the kingdom of God? And Jesus explains to the disciples in his upside down way, hey, if you want to be first, the first in the kingdom of God are actually last, and the last are first. And he helps the disciples understand, although they were seeing greatness, I call it, you know, this greatness of ladder. They see things in the form of a ladder. In other words, how do ladders work? Well, there's one rung at a time that you can climb, but ladders are also just like one man thick. So you can only be above or below someone else if you're all on a ladder together. And they were saying, look, put us at the top, Jesus. All right, in this ladder of greatness, would you please just put us at the top? That's our request. We want a position at the very top. And Jesus said, you guys don't get it. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. And he explains to the disciples, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. And so it's after this that then the disciples are still walking along this road. And Jesus not only had explained to them about this whole theory of greatness and how greatness looks in the kingdom of God, now is his time to show them. It was his time to show them, because Bartimaeus comes along and Jesus says, watch this, ultimately. See, I asked you, what do you want from me? And you fumbled it, guys. You guys fumbled it. You looked for power and position and greatness. And so he asks in the presence of the crowd, Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, what do you want from me? And what it was that Bartimaeus wanted was obvious. It was his sight. And he asked for sight and nothing more. Nothing more. And that's what he received from Jesus, is his sight. It's interesting, this story of Jesus' healing, it's different from a preceding healing of a blind man where he did that weird thing where he spit and then rubbed the man's eyes. He didn't actually touch Bartimaeus. He just said with his very voice, go, get up and go. Faith has healed you. Go up and go. And immediately he did. And that's probably the biggest thing I want us to see from this story of Bartimaeus, is his response after being healed. It says, Bartimaeus got up and he followed. He followed the crowd. See, he received a sight, and what did he do with it? He got up and he followed Jesus. He doesn't run off. He doesn't go seek his own pleasure and his own things. He goes. And where does he go? He follows the crowd, follows Jesus into Jerusalem, follows to the place of the cross. And in fact, there's some early church tradition that speaks of Bartimaeus as a leader in the early church in Jerusalem. This is implying that not only did Bartimaeus, yes, receive sight from Jesus, but he also received vision, a new vision for his life, that his life had meaning, his life had purpose, and it was to go follow after Jesus and go make disciples. He had new life, new purpose. This is a simple story of Bartimaeus. I love this story, and we should tell and retell this story because, yes, it shows us of God's compassion for the marginalized. It shows us God's power to heal. But I also think this story shows us something about ourselves. Because remember, that's what we want to do. We want to tell stories that first teach us about Jesus, but also place us a little bit in the shoes of these people that are being asked these questions by Jesus. How would we respond? So let's place ourselves in the shoes of Bartimaeus and even James and John. As Jesus asks this question, you're walking with Jesus, and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" If Jesus were to ask you that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" How would you answer that? How would you this morning answer that? For most of us, just as it was obvious for Bartimaeus, the answer to that was obvious. I think for most of us, the answer is still obvious. But Jesus did want to hear it from Bartimaeus, and he didn't want it kept secret. He needed the faith to be shown. And I think the same way, look, there's no secret for the things that we're struggling with. There's no secret for the ways that this question needs to be answered for us. There's no secret for a lot of us that what we need is patience, right? In fact, this may be a question that my friends would be better at answering for me. What does Evan need from Jesus this morning? I think my friends, my wife probably especially, could answer that question very well. A lot of us, it's obvious what we need for Jesus. For some of us, we are like James and John and our ultimate aims. Like, you know what, Jesus, what you could do is help me get up the ladder. Help me get up that ladder of greatness and give me prosperity, success, popularity, power, position, all of these things. But honestly, I think it's actually worse than that. For most of us, what we would say in response to Jesus, if we were walking today and Jesus turned to us and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" I think most of us would just say, "Oh, nothing, Jesus. I'm good. Nothing. I'm good." It's like, I don't know if you have this experience, maybe this is just me as like an introvert who doesn't like, talking to strangers a lot. I walk into a lot of stores and let's say I'm shopping for something in particular and I'm walking up and down the aisle looking for it, you know, looking for that thing I came shopping for. And one of the nice store clerks comes up to me and they say, "Hey, can I help you? Do you need help finding something?" No, I'm just looking. I'm just looking. Clearly, I need help. Clearly, I have no idea what I'm looking for, no idea where to find it. But no, I don't need anything. I'm good. I'm just looking. I'm just looking, as if I just have a bunch of extra time in my life to go around every store and just look at their stuff. You know, that's what I'm here. I'm just here to look. But it's, you know, I carry that same prideful attitude with me into my relationship with God. A lot of times I say, "I'll figure it out. I don't need anything from you, God. I'll figure it out. I got this. I'm just here. Leave me alone. I've got this. Give me some time." This is where we've got to hand it to Bartimaeus. He was not ashamed that he needed Jesus. He was not ashamed at all that he needed Jesus. In fact, he yelled it out loud in the middle of a crowd. Twice he yelled it out loud for crowds of people to hear. The question for all of us is, what do you want? What do you want God to do for you today? And there's that tension that God is eager to hear you. He's eager to hear your cries for help. But remember, also, God is not a vending machine just to hear, to grant you everything. So this is where we need a follow-up question. Not just, what would you answer to Jesus' question? But if, in fact, Jesus gave you what you wanted, if he did, if he gave you what you wanted, would you follow him? Would you follow him? See, can we be honest? If we received everything that's on our wish list this morning, we would likely be distracted from following Jesus. We would live in less dependence on God, is ultimately what we'd do. Imagine what would have happened to Bartimaeus in his life if he had received power or money or position or anything like that. I can't say for sure, but I think he would have stayed. I think he would have stayed. I think he would have not followed. It's interesting when you read the Bible, you notice it doesn't actually take much to follow Jesus. It doesn't take much. We see that in the story. Bartimaeus, he didn't have anything, right? He's a beggar at the side of the road. He's a blind beggar as the story starts off, and then he's a sighted beggar at the end. You notice, yes, he does go and he follows Jesus, but he still has no plans for dinner, no place to stay. He's still going to have to ask other people to help him to find provision. He even drops his cloak and goes and follows. He had nothing. He followed. You look at what Jesus tells the rich young ruler when he comes and asks, what does it take to get eternal life? Go sell everything. Go sell everything you own and then come follow me. It doesn't take much to follow me. There's actually only one thing, at least that I can think of. Y'all may know more. But there's really one thing that Jesus tells us we need in order to follow him. I found it in Matthew 16:24. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. See, most of what we really need from God in order to follow after him, it's the intangibles. It's not more stuff, and we know that. We know that more stuff would just be distracting. We know it would distract us from actually following after him. More power, more position, whatever it may be, all of that stuff would just get in the way. All we need is really some of these intangibles that only God can offer. Think about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Y'all, wouldn't you be a better follower if you had more self-control? Wouldn't that make you a better follower? Imagine what your life would look like if you had patience. Right? If we do follow Jesus, we know that following Jesus means we're going to seek out the marginalized, because that's what Jesus did. And if we're going to do that, aren't we going to need a lot of kindness and gentleness, a lot of humility? So maybe we just need to rephrase this question in our minds. Yes, what do you want from God? But what do you want from God to help you on the path of following after him? What is it that you want from God that's going to actually help you on the path of following in obedience? I wrestled with this question personally this morning, just thinking and reflecting. Here's a few things I came up with. They're probably different for you. I really need courage. I'm at a point right now where following in obedience is scary for me. And I need courage to step out in obedience. Because obedience is hard. I don't know if it is for y'all. For me, it's hard. I was at a place this morning. I identified with Bartimaeus. I need mercy. I need mercy. There's forgiveness that I don't deserve, that I need. Sin in my life has distracted from my relationship with God, and I need mercy. I need grace. I need peace. I need understanding for certain circumstances in my life. What about you? What do you need from God that will actually help you follow him? See, the trouble is that it's not that we ask too much. It's actually that we ask too little. We do. We ask too little. Guys, you didn't come here this morning just looking. I'm here to just look. Okay? We're all in need. We all came here as people in need. So then I've got to ask the obvious follow-up question. If you know that you are in need of something from Jesus, and you know that if he gave it to you, you would follow after him, the obvious question is, have you asked? Have you asked? We also often just fall into that cycle that I've heard, not my marriage, but I've heard other marriages fall into, that cycle of uncommunicated expectations, right? These hidden expectations where maybe your wife is mad at you all day because you haven't done something, but you had no idea that she wanted that from you. She never even said, hey, I wanted you to take out the trash, but you never did it. And it's not till the end of the day when she finally says, why didn't you do that? And you're like, well, if you would have just said something, I would have done it. That's fine. Why didn't you just tell me? Tell me. Look, perhaps a bad example, but here's what Jesus says over and over. Here's what Jesus says. Seek knock, ask. He actually says, ask whatever you want, and it will be given to you. The problem for a lot of us is that we're knocking on the wrong door. We're barking up the wrong tree. We do think that there is a God whom we want something from, but the trouble is that that God does not have the power to give it or the compassion to hear it. We're asking the wrong God. We're asking that God or that idol of career to give us meaning and to give us purpose. We're asking that idol of money to give us security. We're knocking at the wrong door. See, there is a God who is able to supply all of your needs. Your need to be made whole, your need to be made new, your need to be made right with God. The obvious answer, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. See, Jesus proved that he does have the compassion to give this new life to you. He proved it by his suffering on the cross on your behalf. Jesus proved that he has the power. He has the power to give you new life by raising from the dead. So there's just really two things this morning that we need to focus on. It's simple. If I could simplify this into just two words, it's ask and follow. Ask and follow. This is the example we see from Bartimaeus. Be bold and ask, plead. From a God who wants to hear you, the God who has compassion for you, the God who has the power to give it. And then follow. And ask for the things that are going to actually help you follow. This morning, ask for forgiveness. This morning, ask for humility. Ask for the provision you need, the joy you need in the journey along the way. And then, let's get up and follow. Let's get up and follow and continue on our way. Y'all pray with me. Father, what a privilege to be here this morning and to indeed tell stories of your Son, Jesus. I pray that we will be the people who boldly come to you and ask for the things that we need from you to follow in obedience to you. God, may we see you as the God who provides, the God who cares, the God who has the power and the compassion to provide for us. May we not withhold. May we not be so prideful as to think, you know what? I'm fine. I don't need help. I'm fine. May we in humility come before you. May we seek the forgiveness we need. May we seek the new life that only you can provide. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. We're going to have some time now for table talk around our tables. It's been, I know, a while since we've done this. We didn't do this during our series in Romans because I was... You know Romans, it's so theologically thick. Those sermons were a bit longer. But our goal during this series is to give some more time for table talk. And if you haven't done this with us yet, we really do this for two reasons. One, we know how forgetful we all are, that we usually hear from God and his word on Sunday mornings, and then by the time we get to lunch, we forgot what we talked about, and we have no idea how to talk to our families about it. So while we're still here, while it's still fresh on our brains, let's talk about it. Talk with your friends, talk with your family about what you just heard from the Word of God. But the second reason we like to do this is, look, our goal here, guys, is to make disciple makers. We want you to be really good at telling stories of Jesus. We want you to be really good about talking about Jesus, which means you need practice. So this is practice, all right? You are here in a safe place where it's good and comfortable to talk about Jesus. So we want you to do that around your table. If you're by yourself, feel free to grab another table, you know, join in with someone else. But y'all spend just a few minutes talking about, maybe even just sharing with one another, what is it that you need from God today to be his follower, to begin to follow after God, or to endure through maybe a trial that you're going through right now. Take time to talk about that. Take time to even pray with one another, and then our band is going to come back up and sing a song of worship.